Well, there's nothing like a short deadline and the prospect of a by-election to focus the mind. The Prime Minister's planned citizenship resolution would have given politicians 21 days to document their status on the public record. This would likely push the process into next year, but after meeting with the Prime Minister today, Labor says get on with it.
We think that document or the MP statements should then be provided no later than around midday on the 1st of December or the Friday, 5 days after Parliament resumes. This would allow the disclosures to be checked out, and then if there are any problems requiring referral to the High Court, that could be done in the last week of the Parliament.
So December the 1st, or 5 days officially at least, for all 226 relevant members and senators to prove they can legally sit in the Parliament. Is that long enough? Liberal Senator Erica Betts joins me from Hobart. Welcome back to the program.
Good to be on the program.
Labor wants 5 days instead of 21. Given MPs have known about this for such a long time, this has been running for half the year, is that enough?
I think Bill Shorten's comments that you just played are exceptionally hollow, given the fact that he has Labor members who have documentation that they are refusing to put into the public domain, and they have had weeks now to do so and have refused. So in all the circumstances, I'm not aware of all the advice that the Prime Minister has received as to his timeline, but I think what the Australian people want is this matter to be resolved, and those people that have documents, such as Mr. Shorten's Labor member for Braddon, should be disclosing her documentation of renunciation so we can see the date on it, because according to recent reports, that documentation will reveal that she had not renounced at the time of nomination nor on the date of the election.
So under Bill Shorten's plan, you'd find out about the Labor member for Braddon earlier than under Malcolm Turnbull's plan, right?
But everybody should be self-disclosing as a matter of decency, like my colleague Stephen Parry did as soon as he realised there was an issue.
Okay, so John Alexander,
right,
where are
course.
John Alexander's papers?
John Alexander, as we know, is looking, as we speak, to ascertain whether or not his father undertook a renunciation. Once that is resolved, I'm sure the appropriate action will be taken. This is all about ensuring the integrity of the Parliament, that the Australian people can have confidence in it, and in those circumstances, it is beholden on Mr. Shorten to be as cooperative as possible to ensure that he does not seek to try to get a short-term political gain at the expense of the integrity of the Parliament.
You were born in Germany. You'd need to go through this process too. Could you produce everything in, you know, a couple of days?
Look, your listeners may well be aware that the reason I chuckle is that some unfortunate individual tried that trick on me in 2010 and took me to the High Court, and just before the hearing withdrew the case. So I'm in a situation where somebody tried to catch me with my pants down but found that I had elastic, I had a belt and braces to
so
ensure
to
that
roll,
I was
right?
Okay.
You're ready to roll.
I'm ready to roll. And in fairness, I think any of us that were born overseas were always on notice in relation to this situation.
So 5 days is enough for everyone, though, under Bill Shorten's plan?
It is the people that have had that were born in Australia and have now realised that somehow, because of a recent development of the law in Italy, the United Kingdom, New Zealand or wherever, that now somehow they might be dual citizens. And I think for those, they are now on notice. They should be getting their skates on in anticipation of a resolution of both houses of the Parliament. And I would hope that every one of my colleagues would be able to have that documentation ready to roll as soon as possible.
5 days would be enough?
Well, look, I'm not aware of what the advice is on which the Prime Minister is acting, and I'm more than willing to accept that his timeline is one that is based on advice and on the basis of ensuring that natural justice does occur for every single parliamentarian.
Okay, but Bill Shorten makes a point which I reckon many of my listeners would be sympathetic to, which is that it would be a waste of taxpayers' money to bring Parliament back for an extra week for this to be sorted. Do you have sympathy for that argument? Because under the government's plan, it would be, you know, calling the Parliament back and paying, what is it, $1 million a day?
Oh, look, this is where Bill Shorten is just so extremely hollow in his utterances. And look, we know that he only produced his documentation for his secret donations once he was confronted with a Royal Commission. Similarly here, he is not forcing the Labor member for Braddon, the Labor member for Longman, to disclose their documents.
But I asked you about another question, so I have to take you back to the question, Erica Betts, which is about the cost of the Parliament sitting again. Do you think that the public should be bearing that cost, really?
Well, if every parliamentarian disclosed their information as a matter of urgency and did not wait for the motion of the Parliament, I assume there would not be a need for an extra sitting of the Parliament. And so it depends on the behaviour of individuals, and that is why I encourage Mr. Shorten to show leadership and actually get the documentation. He himself was prepared to waive in the public eye his renunciation document from the United Kingdom. Why is he not requiring this same standard that he applied to himself?
So you expect that same standard from John Alexander?
He has indicated that he is undertaking the searches and will seek the documentation, and he will make a statement in due course.
So you think it should be immediate as well? Because you can't put pressure on Labor and then not do it to your own side. I mean, if you do, it's hypocritical,
isn't it? Patricia, please, in all this debate thus far, Labor has been putting huge pressure on the Coalition, claiming that they vet and check and that everybody is in the clear. We now know that there are very serious questions over Labor members of Parliament that are not being answered, when it would be extremely easy for the Labor member for Braddon, the Labor member for Longman, and potentially a few others to disclose all their documentation.
Okay, the resolution, as it stands, only asks politicians to disclose their parents' birthplace. Should it go back and talk about grandparents as well? Because citizenship can go back that far.
Well, these are all matters that I think still need to be fully considered. And if that is a case, then that might need to be part of the motion. But at the end of the day, I think everybody is now on notice and should be checking their antecedents as a matter of urgency to ensure that everything is placed before the Australian people, and one would hope that that should be able to be achieved by the middle of December.
Corey Bernardi thinks Parliament should be prorogued while the citizenship issue is dealt with. That would delay a vote on same-sex marriage if, of course, next Wednesday's survey comes back with a yes. We still need a result there. Should that vote be delayed?
I would like to think that the Parliament can continue, and that is as it ought, on the basis that parliamentarians are willing to self-identify. It would be a sorry state of affairs now that we know the High Court's ruling 7-0 on Section 44 of the Constitution if parliamentarians deliberately withheld information hoping to delay their departure from the Parliament by weeks or months through this process. They should self-identify, they should come out and check their documentation, and that is why I once again call on Mr. Shorten and the Labor Party to provide the public the documents in relation to...
You've said that a few times, so I'm going to have to move you along. The Prime Minister pledged to bring on a conscience vote on same-sex marriage before the end of the year. If he's forced to break that promise, do you think 12 million people who voted would accept or understand that?
I think the Australian people, if they have voted no in the postal survey, of course will want the issue to be dropped from the agenda, and I have every expectation that that is what will occur. In the event that there is a yes vote, I think the Australian people would expect the Parliament to deal with it in an expeditious manner, but also in a very thorough manner. And if it means a delay, then from my perspective, so be it. We've got to ensure that we get this legislation in particular absolutely right.
So would that be fair, though? I mean, if there was a yes vote, right, and of course, again, this is hypothetical till next Wednesday, but if there was a yes vote, shouldn't that be dealt with by the end of the year? Wouldn't dragging it into next year be a break of faith with the people that you've gone to and said vote?
I would like to think that we could have it dealt with by Christmas, but this will be a situation where the Parliament are voting as individuals, and therefore there won't be the possibility of a guillotine unless individuals so decide. And so it's going to be uncharted territory. So my view is that, yes, it will be dealt with by Christmas. If it's not dealt with by Christmas, so be it. Let's ensure, first and foremost, that the legislation is robust, and that is what the Parliament's first duty is. Indeed, if we would have been able to
have... Why would it need to go into next year, though?
Oh, well, it depends on how many of my colleagues want to speak, how many amendments might be moved,
but if there
what
is,
are the bills.
But if there is a yes vote from a national vote, do you think all those people would think it's okay that, lots of parliamentarians want to talk when the public's already had the debate?
Well, it's not simply a question of do we change a few words in the Marriage Act. Throughout the campaign, it's now become very clear that there are substantial consequences in a whole range of areas. For example, parental rights in education, freedom of speech, freedom of religion, freedom of conscientious objection. All these matters need to be dealt with very seriously. And whilst there is, at the moment, one bill before the Parliament, I am assuming, I don't know, but I assume that other members and senators might have their own ideas as to what the starting point ought be, and I, for one, am not satisfied that the Smith Bill is an appropriate starting point.
Just finally, the Liberal Party will vote for the new Senate President on Monday. Dean Smith, David Fawcett, Ian MacDonald, and Cabinet Minister. Well, he's not a Cabinet Minister, actually. He's in the outer ministry, but he sits in Cabinet as well as the assistant on Cabinet. Scott Ryan are in the mix. Who would you like to see in the presidency?
Any one of those four would make an exceptionally
good
president. Who I'm voting for will remain private. Some of my colleagues know. I've already had discussions with a couple of the contenders, and my view is that this is something that should be determined by the Senate Liberal Party room on Monday morning. It will be, and whoever we decide will make an excellent president of the Senate, following in the very good, filling the very good shoes left behind by Stephen Parry. So all four of them would be excellent presidents, and who comes out after the ballot is anybody's guess.
Erica Betts, thanks for joining me.
Thanks a lot.